The epistle for the Feast of Christ the King is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. Brethren, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in him were all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and in him. And he is before all, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may hold the primacy. Because in him it hath well pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, both as to the things that are on earth and the things that are in heaven, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thus far the words of the epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. At that time, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or have others told it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee up to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence." Pilate therefore said to him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. For this was I born, and for this came I into the world, that I should give testimony to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." As far as the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. Dear faithful, on this great feast day of Christ the King, we read this gospel again of the encounter between Jesus and Pontius Pilate when he had been accused by the Jews who hated him, wanted him dead, of being some kind of a king contrary to the kingship of the emperor, the Caesar. Now, when Jesus said to Pilate, "This my kingdom is not of this world," he did not mean that he has no authority in the world. What he meant was he was not a king like the other kings in the world are, insofar as they have a temporary rule over the temporal welfare of their subjects. Our Lord is the eternal king. And he's not the king of one kingdom or a part of the world, but the king of all the universe. Pilate had been told by the Jews that he claimed to be Christ the King. When Jesus asked him, "Do you say this thing of yourself, or do you say it because others have told you about me?" Pilate did not answer, but the whole idea of this question seems to be, "Don't you think so, Pilate, yourself? Is it really your decision to wonder whether I'm a king? Or do you just heard it from someone else and you doubt it yourself?" Pilate just sidestepped the whole question, but let us ask ourselves this question. Do we believe Christ is the King because we've heard it? Or do we believe it because we see it in Him? If we believe it because we see it in Him, then we have the better belief. Jesus Christ is King because, as in the epistle we read, that in all things Christ should hold the primacy. He should be first in all things because He is the natural Son of God. We're supposed to be sons of God, but it's only by adoption. He's the natural Son. And then we also see other places in the Scriptures in which we see that Jesus is considered a king. The three wise men were reading the prophecies about the Messiah. And the Messiah was supposed to be born, and a sign would come with this birth. It was the star that they saw, and so they followed the star. And it's an interesting point to note that they did not all come from the same place. In fact, none of them knew that the other kings were following the star until they met while they were already in their journey. Can imagine one of them meeting the other one and saying, "What are you doing out here in the middle of the night, your highness?" And the other king might have said to him, "I was going to ask you the same question. But I'm out here following the star to go find the newborn king of the Jews." The other one might have said, "Well, I'll be. That's what I'm doing." And then they meet the third one and they have the same kind of thing. The two of them say to him, "Well, what are you doing out here in the middle of the night?" And he says, "I was going to ask you the same question." And they say together to him, "I'll bet you're out there following that star to find the newborn king of the Jews, aren't you?" And he might say, "Well, how did you know?" "Well, that's what we're doing." And they travel together to go find the newborn king of the Jews. And they all went to follow the star, and it led them on, and they arrived in Jerusalem, and they told King Herod, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews, so that we can go and offer him homage?" Herod didn't know where he was. And he was disturbed that three kings from other nations should show up at his palace in Jerusalem and asking about the king of the Jews when Caesar had made Herod the king in that place. So he asked the priests, the scribes, "Where is this Messiah supposed to be born?" And they told him, "In Bethlehem." And so he said, "Bethlehem, follow the signs on your way out of town to Bethlehem. The freeway signs are pretty good out there." And so they went and found the baby, and they offered him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold because he's a king. Frankincense because he's God. And myrrh because he's a man. Myrrh is the burial spice. And so these three kings bore witness to the kingship of Christ. Those three kings are also buried together in a city in Germany. in the Cathedral of Cologne, there's a big sarcophagus in the middle. It's the main relic for the cathedral of the city. And I've been able to go see it. I was going to touch it. I snuck in past the ropes. But one of the guards grabbed me and hauled me out of there, so I didn't make it. But the tour guide saw the guard taking me out, and the tour guide got mad at him. He has a good temper on him. And he yelled at him in English. The guy didn't know English. He was German. So, but he knew he was mad at him for touching the priest, you know. So anyway, they are buried there in Cologne, in the cathedral church, the remains of the three kings, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthasar, the three kings. So then, Jesus is king. What does that mean to us? Well, first of all, a king is in charge. There was a big devotion that was spread recently in the recent years, vastly within a couple hundred years, of the devotion to consecrating one's home to Christ the King, or to the Sacred Heart. They have an enthronement, a home enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, saying making Jesus king over the house. In other words, having a special altar and a place of honor in the house where devotions to the king of the house are kept every day when the daily prayers are said. And the right idea is to have it on the mantelpiece above the fireplace or in a special shrine in the main room where people live. He does not want his picture off in a room where nobody ever goes there. He wants to be where we are, and we want to be where he is. And the picture is enthroned in a ceremony by the head of the house. He puts that picture or statue of Christ the King, the Sacred Heart, up, and then they do special devotions on that day to Jesus for this day of enthronement. And then each day from then on, a little prayer to honor Christ as the King of the home and the family. And this little devotion goes on throughout the life. And our Lord Jesus Christ being made king and honored as king, well, we become his genuine subjects then. For subjects who rebel against their king, they're the ones that are found in the prisons and the dungeon of the king, right? Because he catches them and punishes them. But those that are faithful, they're promoted in the kingdom. They're made nobles. And that's what our Lord wants for us. That we become his nobles. And so we enthrone the Sacred Heart in our homes and make Jesus, therefore, the King by his love that he bears towards us. And then he blesses us for it in a big way. So it is a great devotion, the devotion to Christ the King. And a king, we don't have many examples of kings in the secular world today. Too many other things like tyrants or democracies or republics or mishmashes or what do you call the limited monarchy in England or something like that. It's all a bunch of watered down stuff. It's not the real king that it used to be. In a couple of days, we're going to vote for a president. Right? Well, you know, why can't we have a king? It'd be great. But we have a president. And what does he do? Well, not much. Right? May have a war on terrorism or something, but he's not really like a king is. A king calls the shots. And our Lord Jesus Christ is a king. And he calls the shots. And what he says goes. He's a patient king, Because he expects us to, in our lifetime, to conform ourselves to him. And he knows that we're not all ready for it at the beginning. So he gives us some time. But it's not unlimited time. And during the time that he does give us on the planet Earth, which may or may not be 70 years, which is the typical lifespan, we have to conform ourselves to Jesus Christ, our King. And if we do not, we're going to end up in the eternal dungeon. And if we do, we'll be his nobles for all eternity and enjoy peace and the beauty and the glory and the happiness of heaven. That is what life is about. Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. Life is serious. So as for us to roll up our sleeves and really make our Lord our King and obey him as though he's really in charge, put ourselves truly subjected to our Master and King so that things will go the way that he designed them. He's not just our King, he's also our God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.